Tonight, as I have said to you already, try to understand that you may think that physically you're at 1357 East Capitol, but theologically, spiritually, we are in the upper room. We are with the Lord, we are with the apostles, and we've just seen the Lord wipe the feet of the disciples, to wash their feet in humble service. And I'm going to return to this theme at the end of the sermon, but again, the Lord asked a question, and I hope that you'll take some time and answer it. And the question is this: do you realize what I have just done for you? Do you realize what I have just done for you? He was speaking about the washing of their feet. But you know, over and over again, that question echoes in my life. Every Mass, every celebration of every sacrament, the many blessings that come to me, and yes, even the challenges and the burdens, I hear that question echo. Do you realize what I've just done for you? In other words, do you have any idea what I'm doing in your life? Do you know? Allow that question to echo a lot in your mind over the next few days as we try to realize, you know, one day, brothers and sisters, it will dawn on us that the Son of God died for us. One day, it will break through and we'll become powerfully aware that He really did all that just for me. And we begin to experience it as real. And that grows in our life. But there are those breakthrough moments where we powerfully experience and realize what He has just done for us. Tonight, I'd also like to talk to you on this theme: set your plate, because God is able. You know that old line from the spirituals and some of the old gospel songs, that when there's no food on the table, just set your plate, because God is able. God is able. I want to ponder with you tonight three things about the Eucharist that we celebrate: that it is a pledge, that it's prescribed, and that it sets a pattern. First of all, the pledge of the Eucharist. One of the titles of the Eucharist that comes up in the litany of the Blessed Sacrament and also in the great old hymn by Thomas Aquinas called O Sacrum Convivium, and the line is that it is a pinus future gloriae, that it is a pledge of future glory. Now ponder with me for a moment that in the Scriptures, God providing a meal is frequently given to us in Scripture as an image of complete victory that is looming. Let me give you some Scriptures. Now, the first obvious Scripture is what we heard tonight in the first reading. God says, I want you to prepare a meal because I'm about to do some serious delivering. I'm going to lead you out of slavery tonight. And in order to prepare you, I want you to have a meal. Go take a lamb and kill the lamb, and place the blood on the doorpost. And we're going to get back to that. And the Lord says, but have this meal because I want you to know something. I'm about to deliver you. So you see, the meal is a sign, or if you will, a pledge of impending glory and deliverance. The meal that God prepares is a sign of His love for us. It's a sign of deliverance. It's a sign of His plans to completely deliver us from every sinful and sorrowful and painful thing in our life. And so it is The meal is a sign. Now, another example comes from everyone's favorite psalm, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. Fresh and green are the pastures where he gives me repose. But the psalm goes on to say, Lord, you prepare a table for me in the sight of my foes. My cup overflows. See, I hope that when you walk into this church Sunday after Sunday and you see this altar, this table, this altar, just tell the devil, devil, the Lord has prepared a table for me, and he has made a pledge and a promise for me, and that table, devil, is a sign that you can't have me, because the Lord is feeding me, preserving me across the desert of this life, so that I can one day come into the promised land of heaven. Devil, just take note of the table. Devil, I have nothing more to say except this. He has prepared a table for me in the sight of you, my enemy, old devil. Now get behind me. Psalm 22, the psalm right before that, says something very similar. It's a psalm that starts out as like a psalm of despair. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus quotes it from the cross. But the psalm doesn't end there. The psalm goes on to declare that I will trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I will declare to my children's children of the glorious ways that God has delivered me. Psalm 22 is not a psalm of despair. It is a psalm of victory. It is a psalm of hope. And right in the concluding lines of that psalm, the following is written. From you, O Lord, comes my praise in the great congregation. It goes on to say, my vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. That meal that God prepares is once again a sign of victory. It's a sign of complete conquering over all the struggles of life, over all the sins, over all the travails. It is a sign of victory. So you see this image of the meal that God prepares, this meal that he prepares as a sign of victory. And now tonight in the upper room, we are gathered as if for the first time, but as we heard on Sunday, that we already know what the end shall be. The Lord has called them to a meal. You've been called to a meal. Pay attention. And what is he about to do? Someone said he's about to suffer and die, but church, that's not all he's about to do. You see, God's weakness is stronger than Satan's power. And in his weakness, he's going to save us. He is preparing a victory for us. So he says, come to the table. I prepared a table for you in the sight of your foe. Old devil, just pay attention. Jesus has set the table, and God is able. I brought my plate, I brought my knife and my fork. I'm ready to eat the meal. He's about to deliver me. Every time you walk into this church, look at this altar, look at this table, and just remember, every time the Lord sets a table, he's saying, victory. Victory is yours. This table is set in the sight of your foe. I've come to deliver you. Now, he had to still go through Friday. I'm not telling you there won't be any troubles. I'm just promising you victory in the Lord. Victory in Jesus. Total, complete victory. Why? Because he set a table. That's all I know. Every time he sets a table, well, set your plate because God is able. All right, church. Jesus also makes this promise in the Gospel of John that anyone who eats this food will live forever. Listen to what he says. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. My flesh is real food. It's real drink, my blood. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have lived because of the Father, so anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. A pledge of future glory. Dignus future gloriae. Just so you know, it's an old thought in the church. I just stole it from someone way back. Jesus himself, every time you walk in and see that he set a table, just realize, victory is mine. I told Satan, get behind, because victory is mine today. He has set a table for me in the sight of my enemies, and my cup is overflowing. I may still have a Friday to go through, but there is Sunday on the other side, because he set a table. All right. So the first thing to see tonight about this Eucharist that the Lord is giving us for the first time is that it's a pledge of future glory. Now, the next thing just to say, and you've heard me talk on this many a time, and I'll try to keep this part brief, that the Eucharist is prescribed. The Lord has a number of ways of saying this. The most simple way is he just says, do this in remembrance of me. Just say with me, do this. Do this. I don't know what part of do this some people don't quite get. Be in church every Sunday. Do this. Just do it. Just do it. Do this in remembrance of me. The Lord also tries to elaborate and explain why. In John chapter 6, the Lord says this, do not continue to work for food that spoils, or sticks to your ribs, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him the Father has set his seal. So they said, well, what sign can you give us? After all, Moses gave us manna in the desert. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread that has come down from heaven. I myself am the bread of life. Who comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now what the Lord is saying here is, remember the manna in the desert. Now remember, they had come through the Red Sea. That's pretty neat. Water like a wall on either side. Now, first of all, have you ever thought about this? Would you have gone through? All right, you would have. Amen. Praise. It wasn't easy, was it? We know the end of the story. what do you think, Simon? I don't know, Levi. Think that water's going to hold? I don't know, but the Egyptians are behind. I think we better trust God. They went through that, and they came through, and they didn't even get their toes wet. Not even their toes got wet. And then the water closed over their enemies. They were slaves on the one side and the free children of God on the other. Could someone say baptism?
Baptism.
But you know something? Some folks, no matter how many miracles they see, still don't trust. They said, there ain't no food in this desert. Apparently, God led us out here to die. Moses, I would have rather been fat and happy as a slave than dead as a free man. And they grumbled and they complained. And God said to Moses, just tell them tomorrow, get up early in the morning, and I'll show them the food I'm going to give them. And they went out that morning, and there was a dough-like substance on the ground called, well, they would come to call it manna. But once again, they looked at each other. They said, Simon, what do you suppose that is? Levi says, I'm not right sure. Let's ask Rebecca. Don't know. Moses said, that is the food that God, your father, has given you to eat. Now go out and gather it up, each of you an omer, whatever an omer is, a basket full. You can knead it like dough and bake it like bread. And they went out and they said, Manu in Hebrew, Manu, which means in Hebrew, what is it? They called it manna. They didn't know it was a miracle food. It had come from heaven. They called it bread from heaven. They called it the bread of the angels. They called it the manna from above, the whatever it is from above. And church, every day of those 40 years, except on the Sabbath, God gave them manna. And on Friday, he gave them a double portion, so they didn't have to go out on the Sabbath. And what would have happened, though, if they had not eaten that manna? Well, you know, I'm getting a little tired of the manna. 40 years in that desert, they got to eat, right? If you want to get to the promised land, you got to eat. And so the Lord is teaching us in this gospel from John, now, as the manna was for them, their absolutely essential and necessary food, without which they would drop dead of starvation in that desert and never make it to the promised land, as the manna was for them, so now I am for you. And I'm giving you my flesh to eat. The bread I will give is my flesh, and the drink I'll give is my blood. And just like it was for them with the manna, so it is for you. Now, what would you say about a Jewish man or a woman back in that desert who said, eh, I'm not into manna. Find the whole thing rather boring. Well, you wouldn't have thought they were very bright, would you? And their death sentence has been announced because they're not going to make it. What do you think of a Catholic who says, well, I don't really need Holy Communion. Who needs to go get the wafer? Who needs to go to church anyway? You know, the choir is great, but the preacher, he's not so great. Whatever. Lots of people have lots of reasons not to go to Mass. But listen, church, don't forget, you got to have the manna or you're not going to make it. Got to have it. So it is that Jesus says, I myself, and the living bread now that's come down from heaven for you to eat and not die on your way to the promised land of heaven. How many of you know we're in a desert right now? We've got to have some spiritual food. Jesus says, finally, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. In other words, you're on your way to spiritual starvation and death in the desert. I hope you'll stay faithful to God's altar. And I hope you'll share this vision of the manna with some folks who need to hear it. So it is that the final third thing I just want to say, not only is there a pledge given in the Eucharist, a pledge of glory, that God is up to something good and he's about to deliver. Not only is the Eucharist prescribed, but there's also tonight given to us a pattern. The Lord washed their feet. And he says, do you understand what I've just done for you? He goes on to teach them, I've just given you an example for you to follow. Now, we don't wash each other's feet in this culture. That isn't what we do. But what is the washing of the feet a symbol of? It's a symbol of humble service. I said humble service. I don't mean service that you do because they're going to put your name on a brass plaque. I said humble service that you just do because you love. You don't worry because someone didn't send you the thank you note and start to cop an attitude. You just do it because you're humble and you love. And the Lord is asking us to do that. He asked me to do that, your pastor. I'm going to tell a story of myself, not to praise myself, just to tell you that sometimes we all have to experience these things. I was just getting ready to take a little afternoon siesta. I had a lot of appointments in the evening, and phone rings over here from the specialty hospital. Someone's dying, come right away. There goes the nap. It's just those sorts of things. You have the same things come up in your life. Going to be a nice quiet weekend. All of a sudden, your sister-in-law calls and you got to go help. I don't mean to say you can never have any boundaries. I don't mean to say there isn't a time when you just need a vacation. But other things being equal, you're going to be there to humbly serve. Now, I'm not done with this idea of an example. I want to just finish with this idea. All of us are baptized priest, prophet, and king. I'm what you call a ministerial priest. It's my job to celebrate the sacraments. But all of us, because of baptism, have something called the royal priesthood. And to be a priest means to offer a sacrifice to God. But pay attention now. This is very important. Don't miss this point. In the Old Testament, the priest always offered something other than himself. He'd offer a lamb, or you see those turtle doves up there in the wall? That was a sacrifice of a poorer family. Two turtle doves or a lamb. If you're a really rich person, you brought an ox. And these priests would kill these animals and sacrifice to God. Well, that's kind of gory and all, but frankly, the priest isn't all that harmed. But in the New Testament priesthood, Jesus doesn't offer something other than himself. Jesus offers his very self. He is the Lamb. He is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Guess what, New Testament priest? The sacrifice that you're asked to offer is the gift of your very self. Here I am, Lord. If you can use anything, just use me. Someone needs help at the hospital, Pope. Go on over. All right, but Lord, I wanted to take a nap. Go. I go. Finally, I got a Saturday to myself. Sister-in-law's on the phone. Go. Kids got me up late at night, sick with a fever. Go. New Testament priest, wash the feet of the people you love. Wash them. You're not just offering a sacrifice of your money or something separate than you. You're offering the gift of your very self. Tonight, bread and wine are brought up. But guess what? You're on that patent too. You're saying, Lord, I'm on that patent the priest is holding up. That bread symbolizes me. That wine, me. That's me, Lord. So you see the vision here. The Lord is giving us a pattern. Tonight, he takes bread and says, this is me. This is my flesh. This is my blood. Receive it. Receive me. I offer you the gift, not of some animal. I offer you the gift of my very self. I am not just willing to wash your feet. I am willing to give you the gift of my very self. And so it is. New Testament priests. The priest and the victim are one and the same. Tonight, we've talked about this pattern. I have just given you an example. Wash each other's feet and give each other the gift of your very self. And give me, the Lord, the gift of your very self. I've told you that you've got to receive my body and blood. You've got to be strengthened for this. You cannot do it on your own. Only me living in you can do it. And finally, I promise you with all my heart, complete and total victory over every sorrow, over every suffering, over every struggle, over every sin. Why? Because I set a table for you. Watch this, church. I set a table for you. Don't worry about what the devil might do. Just tell him, the Lord has set a table for me in the sight of you, my foe. I have set a table. I don't want you to fear. I am feeding you in the desert so that you can get to the promised land. If you weren't going to get to the promised land, I wouldn't bother to feed you. I am feeding you. I have set a table. Stay faithful to this table. And I promise you, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. And I will raise him, her, on the last day. I have said it, and I will do it, says the Lord. Amen.